How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So we have a game here at 1 o'clock. We're recording this episode before on Gleyber Torres. Want to kind of discuss his inconsistencies to start the season. Now, I want to get one thing out of the way before this episode really gets into the thick of it. And Gleyber Torres, I'm not worried about him. I'm not really concerned about Gleyber Torres heating up at some point. He hasn't hit a home run yet. He's been awful in runners in scoring position. His defense has been lackluster. But look, this is not the Gleyber Torres that you see for the full season. This is the Gleyber Torres you see when he's kind of not right mentally. It's not to me that he's physically doing anything wrong, his fundamentals are off. I don't see anything that's like mind-blowing in terms of why he's struggling. I just think it's a mental thing at this point. I think he lacks a little bit of confidence. I think once he starts to come around, starts to hit again, we're going to see him provide results at the pace we're normally used to. In 2023, we saw that in flux. And, you know, I really think that right now Torres is going through something more so with his confidence. So I want to talk about his numbers, where he needs to improve upon, but, you know, just reassure you guys that we're not really concerned about this at all. But I know some people are. We wanted to address this concern that some people do have before it gets a little bit out of hand. But Ryan, before we dive into Gleyber Torres, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I think last night's win was, I mean, one of the better wins you could have if you're the New York Yankees. They absolutely, I mean, you that Juan Soto home run, man. I'm going crazy in my room at like 10 o'clock at night. Dude, what a win. Like, what a win for the Bronx Bombers. What a win for the New York Yankees. What an opportunity for the Yankees to now put themselves in a position where they can, I mean, we're recording this before the game. This video will come out after. We'll TBD on whether they won today or not. It's Nationals versus Eflin, so you'd kind of give the advantage to the Rays. But getting back to Gleyber here, his number probably won't change between this episode because he's not playing today. Jamai Jones is. I think it's good the Yankees are giving him an off day. I think his batted ball data, that's really where I'm just like, what's going on here? Because from a swing decision standpoint, 21.3% chase rate, 72.4% in-zone swing rate, that's fine. Swinging strike rate is up. That explains why the strikeout rate has ballooned. And I think he's just in his own head right now. Like, I think he's a very heady player. I think he's the type of guy who, you know, could get caught up in his struggles and his slumps and let it compound. And I think Gleyber's just got to, you know, I think it's a confidence thing, as you mentioned. I don't think it's a skill regression. He's still the player he was last year where he hit 25 home runs at a 3.8 F4, the highest of his career. He's still the player he was the year prior when he had a 117 WRC plus and hit 24 home runs with a 2.8 F4. Like, we're talking about a player who has been around a 3-4 war player over the last 2 years, Alex. I know that people want to rewrite history whenever a player performs poorly or is performing poorly and pretend that their previous play was not that good or subpar or worse than they remember. But that's just, you know, that's just selective. That's like recency bias, right? We all know what Gleyber Torres did last year. If you want to sit here and say he wasn't that good of a player last year, that he wasn't a 3.8 war player, or that he wasn't 23% better than the league off average hitter, or they didn't strike out only 14.6% of the time with 25 home runs, one of the few players in baseball to hit over 20 home runs while striking out under 15% of the time, then you're just ignoring reality, right? Like, Gleyber Torres was a really damn good baseball player last year, and if the Yankees can get some semblance of that form again, I think we're going to see this lineup just take off completely. Like, I really do believe Gleyber's going to get things going at some point. Will he have the career year that, you know, he kind of had last year? Probably not, right? Like, I think, you know, when you get off to a slow start, it does kind of hurt your ability to have great end-of-season numbers, but this isn't new for Gleyber Torres. We've seen Gleyber Torres struggle and slump and get off to slow starts or have months where he really struggles. I mean, even last year, you know, people forget entering the All-Star break, or really entering the month of July, he was a very league average hitter. He wasn't very good. It was kind of, you know, bad. Like, he had a stretch from May 25th to June 29th. So this is over a month where he had a 68 WRC plus. That's around where his WRC plus is now. So I've seen him play bad baseball. I've seen him forget how to hit for power. You remember that slump in 2022 where in the month of August, he was just a no-show. He couldn't hit. We've seen Gleyber Torres slump. He's always due for one of those slumps during the year. Every player kind of is. I think it's a matter of when, not if, he gets things turned around. And when he gets things turned around, Alex, I think this team's going to be a lot better. And I think we'll see a lot of people kind of walk back the very, you know, I guess overreactionary takes, I'd say. I mean, if you think Gleyber Torres is really bad because of the stretch he's had and that will continue, you kind of have to believe, like, what, Oswaldo Cabrera is going to have a 150 WRC plus and be one of the best third basemen in baseball? That'd be a little bit ridiculous, right? Or you have to think that Anthony Volpe is going to finish the year with, like, a 160 WRC plus. That'd be one of the best offensive seasons by a shortstop ever. I'm not saying this to disparage Anthony Volpe, but if you think that his median outcome is most likely outcome is having the best offensive season by a shortstop you've ever seen, I think you're a little bit crazy, right? You know, know, there are players who have really good numbers, really bad numbers, because it's a small sample size. Things will change. Guys will get cold. Yes, even Juan Soto will get cold, guys. It's baseball. I think a lot of people are just, they don't like Gleyber Torres. They've never really liked Gleyber Torres. Even after last year, we had a lot of comments, Alex, of trade Gleyber. He's not that good, this and that. People really don't like Gleyber Torres. That's why this is a bigger story than I think it actually is. And I don't know. Like I just think people don't like Gleyber. He's playing bad, and now they're taking the opportunity to kind of, you know, take their shots and poke holes in his game right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, it really is. I hate to say it, because Gleyber Torres has been such a consistent guy in terms of he shows up every day, works hard, he doesn't buy into the media negativity. But he right now is not really doing himself many favors. I think that a lot of the people that are saying they should have traded him or they should move on from after the season, they're probably getting their way. But that's not to say I don't think Gleyber Torres is a very solid player, and historically he has been. I think that the Yankees are going to move on from him. I don't think he's going to be our future second baseman, and it's not because he's not playing well right now. It's because we have to spend all that money on Juan Soto. It has nothing to do with Gleyber, everything to do with Juan Soto being the hero of this team, the generational player that he is, the electric moment producer, the monster, the maestro. Yesterday, what he did with that 3-run home run in a peak moment, a pinnacle spot in that game, there's not many players on this planet that step up into the box and do stuff like that when it matters the most. There's not many people that have the mental fortitude, the mental strength to be able to do things like this. The Yankees have one, and they have two of them. They have Judge as well. You know, when you have two guys like this, you can run an offense through them. They win you games. Juan Soto, this team last year, they lose yesterday's game, and they right now they're on a 4-game losing streak. Like, that's the truth. Right now, this team might be under 500 without Juan Soto. That's how good he's been. He's on pace for what? I think I did the math this morning, 16 war or 13 war? Or so, I think it was 13 war. That is stupendous. You know what I mean? A 13 war season would be one of the best seasons we've seen from a Yankee player ever. And you're watching him do it, not just in the middle of a day on a Monday in Oakland. He's doing it on a Friday night in the Bronx. We dreamed of this. You know what I mean? The Yankees have to pay him. So Gleyber Torres, what he's doing now is only hurting his own pocketbook. The Yankees aren't going to pay him because they don't like him. The Yankees aren't going to pay him because they need to pay Juan Soto. And that's just the unfortunate reality. The Yankees have a couple of players on this team they need to get maximum value out of on one-year arbitration deals, right? Alex Verdugo, Clay Holmes, Gleyber Torres, those three players are all free agents next offseason, not to mention Juan Soto. So they're trying to maximize that talent. Verdugo's been excellent lately. Clay Holmes, and they call him Cardiac Clay for a reason. He scares the crap out of you, but at the end of the day, he does come in and get the job done on most occasions. Ian Hamilton's been a little bit spotty lately, so he's been able to step up and at least help this team get through some difficult outings towards the end of games. But then you have Torres, who's been struggling altogether. But again, not really worried about it. Now, I am a little worried because his hard hit metrics and barrel percentages are down quite significantly. His strikeout percentage is up 11% compared to last year. Is his slugging data concerning to you at all, Ryan? Because that is something that he hasn't hit his first home run yet. He's not hitting the ball very hard. He's not barreling it very much. Are those things that are just more so he's not seeing the ball well, confidence is shaken? Or do you think that there is some sort of regression occurring because we're not used to seeing this type of stuff from Gleyber? He usually hits the ball pretty well.
Yeah, so again, kind of like peeling back to that last year slump I alluded to, he hit 3 home runs in 1 month with a 330 slugging percentage. Like, I'm not saying this to say, oh yeah, it's totally fine, he's not hitting the ball hard. More to say, he had, like, even when he has slumped, and he's had slumps where he hasn't hit the ball hard. That's more so kind of what I'm getting at here. Again, I think that you have to, he has played bad baseball. There's no denying that. I don't think you and I are trying to sit here and say he hasn't. You know, he has to hit the ball harder for sure. That's something that I think is the driving force behind his regression. I think, you know, when he gets that going, he'll play a lot better. I also fully believe that, you know, the Yankees, they kind of, you know, they're kind of in a situation now where, yeah, as you mentioned, you know, the Yankees don't necessarily have a strong incentive to bring him back. And it's not only because he's struggling. I think this would have been the case even if he played well. Because Juan Soto exists, right? Because Juan Soto is right there. Juan Soto, I mean, we've seen what Juan Soto has done. Juan Soto has been, I mean, absolutely phenomenal. If you want to go back to the moment where Juan Soto debuted back in 2018, his 29.9 WAR is the eighth most in baseball. His 155 WRC plus is the fourth best qualified mark in baseball, behind Judge, Trout, Alvarez, kind of like the three guys you suspect. This has been the fourth best hitter in baseball for over half a decade. And he's 25. Like, he's even younger than Glaber. Yeah, you're gonna have a pretty hard time, you know, trying to sign Soto, and then also, you know, giving the money to a guy like Glaber. They want to cut costs in certain places because if they can be cheaper in other places, it kind of weighs the cost of signing Soto. Like, if you kind of look at like it from a roster perspective, if you're paying a rookie contract for your second baseman. Cabrera, let's say Cabrera is a decent third baseman, is your third baseman, right? Or maybe your second baseman. I don't know, right? If you have Cabrera, DJ at third, I mean, I wouldn't really put DJ at third. I'd look at him more as a utility guy. I think he's kind of, I'm not too positive on his outlook, like, for the remainder of that contract. That foot injury is a little concerning, and having a little bit of a setback and not healing the way he thought he'd heal. I mean, you don't heal as well when you're older. But getting back to the main point here, you know, Rizzo's off the books. I think Rumfield in AAA and Ben Rice in AA are two guys to look at for first base replacements internally. You know, if you have Soto in right, Judge in left, or, you know, whoever you do, Judge in center, Dominguez in left, or whatever you want to do, and you have Jones, your pitching staff, right? Like, they're all under contract for next year. You don't actually have to sign anybody. The way that Schmidt has pitched could really help you because it means you may have less of an incentive to go out and get a bulldog. Maybe you could go out and trade for somebody who can help you. Alex, they can really cut costs a lot, is really what I'm getting at here. A lot of their bullpen hits free agency. Now, I would like to see them pick up a couple of arms in the trade market or at least replenish the bullpen a little bit because they are running a little thin. You know, they've lost a good bit of arms. But yeah, like, you're going to, like, want to cut costs where you can if you're the Yankees, if you're going to bring back Soto. And I think second base is the place to do it. Caleb Durbin's played really well at AA. You know, they have a couple of infield prospects. I know Vivas hasn't made his debut yet, but when he does, I think he'll get things going. They've got, obviously, you know, they have Volpe, who's at short. I mean, Cabrera, again, he's been playing well. I don't know. I don't really see a route where Glaber stays. That's not even a matter. But I think that's something you and I have said since December, since January, since Juan Soto has been on the team. It's been like, I don't know how Glaber stays. I don't. Because you got to keep Juan Soto. That's kind of like, I mean, it's not a debate, right?
It's not a debate, and you know, this is, again, nothing to do with Gleyber Torres not playing well. We like Gleyber Torres. We think he's a good player. It's everything to do with Juan Soto being a monster and him deserving every single penny that he's going to get. Look, he's going to make more money for this Yankee team than Gleyber Torres will in his in 48 years of playing service if he was to play that long. It's like, you know, this guy, the Yankees are a historic franchise that invest in superstar generational talents. If they don't do that, they lose that aura. They lose that moniker of the team that is always great, the team that invests in elite talent. Juan Soto loves it here. Him and Gleyber Torres were there at 3 a.m. Up in Washington Heights getting haircuts, man. I mean, for God's sake, he's in his home. He has people in his culture around him. He has captivated a city, and I'm willing to bet in the next 2 to 3 years, if not this season, he is going to become the biggest face in this city of any team, you know, aside from Jalen Brunson right now. Juan Soto was going to become the face of this city at some point. It was Aaron Judge. But look, Judge is only going to get older. Juan Soto is 25 years old. This guy is going to be the face, the confidence, the buzz of this city. You watch him play, Judge gets excited sometimes. Juan Soto bleeds confidence. This city needs a superstar like him. Brunson bleeds confidence. Daniel Jones, just kidding, I didn't want to go down the route. Aaron Rodgers, you know, bleeds confidence when he's not injured or saying crazy stuff in the media. But you see what I mean. Like, there's a couple of key faces in this city. Brunson and Soto and Judge are the three primary ones. You look at the Mets, they don't really have anyone that says, you know, who knows what Pete Alonso goes. He's certainly not.
I think Alonso, like, and Lindor, like, they're still big, like, I get what you're saying.
Not that big, though.
But they're not. They're not Soto. Like, you kind of, even if you take the conglomerate of this city, Judge and Soto just kind of reign supreme, right? Like, yeah. Like, I mean, I know the Rangers have Panarin. He's pretty big, but like, hockey isn't as big in New York or just kind of in general as baseball is. Like, Juan Soto is. He's gonna get $500 million for a reason. Like, he's gonna generate more revenue than $500 million. And then, I mean, Daniel Jones is kind of like, right? Like, you know, I mean, he's somebody. He's a good man. He's a good dude. He's hashtag good dude university, you know?
Yeah, he is. Absolutely. I mean, look, you just see, it's cool because these players that we have now in the city aren't controversial. You know what I mean? These big guys. Juan Soto is not controversial. He just wants to play baseball. And like, you love players. Like, we just want guys who want to play baseball. We don't want guys that are talking about this or that or politics or whatever. You are here to be the face of an organization, to be the face of a franchise, to play a game. Play a game. Rally the troops of this city. And
you don't want your superstar talking about you want your superstar talking like Aaron Rodgers? I don't know, man. I don't need
Aaron Rodgers' opinion on vaccines personally. Like, you know, yeah, I'm gonna believe the guy that's been hit in the brain more times than I can count. Yeah, like, even no matter what your perspective is, no matter what your perspective is on any political matter, athletes are the worst people to actually take their advice and then make it your own, because they're the most, like, straight up, like, why on earth? Some of these guys get paid to get hit in the head for a living. Why on earth are we taking their opinions? Like, I'd rather go read like a cited document or a cited source from an article that was done with like tons of trials and errors.
Top sources are Antonio Brown and Aaron Rodgers, guys. I don't know what you're talking about, man.
You, sir, cannot be trusted in society. Like, you, sir, should be banned from society if CTESPN is your primary source of information.
Hashtag CTESPN, of course.
Yeah, hashtag the Civil War is coming, and Sam is on Antonio Brown's team. If you saw the graphic, you get the reference. But you know what I'm trying to say. Like, the last thing I'm trying to do is take the opinions of players. Their primary goal is to perform a sport, and they're an athlete. Half of these guys like barely went to college. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's tough in terms of like taking their narratives and running with it, making them your own. I highly suggest doing your own research on political matters and whatnot. I respect your opinions, whatever they are.
Fireside advice. This is fireside life advice. Now,
I don't
guys.
Care what you believe in, and I just want to make that evident. Like, I don't care what you believe in. Let's just not take athletes' opinions and make them our own. Like, they're not the people. Like, we should be looking at scholars and like peer-reviewed review papers.
If Juan Soto does tell me something, at this point in time, I will just agree with him. At this point in time, I think I'm kind of blind following Juan Soto. I don't know, Alex.
Look, if Juan Soto decided that it was right time to send people to Mars, I'm the first one on the damn ship, okay?
Juan Soto says jump. I'm saying how high, man. I mean, right now, I mean, he's balling out.
He says, I need the DJ house. It's on his desk the next 10 minutes. It's just the way it is these days, you know? Juan Soto can have whatever. As long as he keeps playing like this, maybe I will start listening to athlete opinions. You know, it just really comes down to the impact these guys have in the city, nonetheless. What I'm trying to boil down to. And Soto and Brunson, they're bringing a lot of happiness to a city that really has been, you know, watching Boston in the golden age of Boston sports, you know, coming off the New England era, coming off, I mean, the Celtics are amazing this year. You know, it's tough. You know, you watch these teams and they dominate. The Red Sox stink. We love that. But, you know, of course you have other leagues, other sports. The Bruins have been phenomenal for so long in the NHL. And it's like, it's our time to shine. I'm so happy to have some peak performance generational talent in the prime of their careers. If the Yankees let Juan Soto go, even if it's to the freaking Mets, I will never forgive the
I'll like I'll like burn my eyes, dude. I don't know.
Tears, single tears is down my cheek. That's I'm stunned if that were to happen. But again, We're hearing John Heyman say the priority is Juan Soto. Hal Steinbrenner is watching the cash, the freaking chicken bucket money come in, and he's out of his mind right now. You know what I mean? Like, this, he's watching not only his team win games, but he also sees, and this is the beautiful part of it all, he can pay Juan Soto because he has a crop of young players coming up. They're going to keep costs down at other positions. Anthony Volpe is going to have, what, 3 years left? Four years left of control. Spencer Jones, Jason Dominguez, you still got guys like Chase Hampton. I mean, for goodness sake, this team is stacked to the brim with young talent. And Juan Soto, look, the way that Anthony Rizzo is playing right now, nobody can convince me that if you give Ben Rice that job long term, we're not going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like, Ben Rice at first base, like, I'm willing to survive his inconsistencies for the first season of his career, because Juan Soto was picking up Anthony Rizzo and his lack of consistency lately, you know, by the bootstraps. So It's not just Rizzo, by the way. It's pretty much half of our team. You know what I mean? Gleyber, Rizzo. You know, you could throw in Verdugo early on in the season. You could throw in Austin Wells when he's struggling. He's been awful offensively. It's unfortunate, but I think he'll be fine long term. Another discussion for another day. DJ LeMay, who hasn't even been available. Aaron Judge has been inconsistent and streaky. Juan Soto has picked this team up by the bootstraps, man. You got to pay this man.
How many games would we have lost without Juan Soto? If you just subtract Juan Soto and replace him. I think we're a 500 team. Like, I know that that's like, that we have a finite way to calculate this, but like, dude, I don't know if we're above 500. I think we're in last place in the AL East, right? We lose that game to the Jays. We'd have lost yesterday. We probably don't, like, I genuinely think we're below 500 team without Juan Soto right now.
I know. I'm in the same boat. There's just simply no way the Yankees are even competitive without him. Like, and I think that Steinbrenner probably sees that at face value and says, well, without him, our team is bad. No one's showing up to the stadium, guys. Like, I'm not going to a freak. I'm not paying a dime to go to see this team without Juan Soto on it right now. Not a dollar. You know, he's going to make that money back tenfold, Steinbrenner specifically. The stadium's going to be packed. The postseason is going to be electric. Goodness gracious, the postseason is going to be electric. You can't compete with the Orioles right now without Juan Soto. Their team is too young, too good, too cost efficient. You know what I mean? You just can't compete. You need superstars. The Yankees have to pay. It's going to happen.
Yeah, shout out that one guy who tweeted like, oh, we have young players, but the Yankees are going to have to pay $500 million for Juan Soto. Yeah, they're going to pay $500 million and Juan Soto's going to hit tanks off of your guys. So, I mean, exactly. Juan Soto, he's like that, man. Yesterday was so electric. That ballpark sounded like a postseason game. That double sounded like a postseason game. It was an RBI double to pull us within two runs of a game we lost against the Warriors. against the Marlins, man.
And we were still losing. It was a Wednesday night and it was raining. So it's like, yeah, this guy is the Yankee. This is what I'm saying, though. Like, Judge, guys, the best. We love Judge. We love Judgy. But I'm willing to bet in the next 2 years Soto is the face of this team. You know what I mean? And it's probably because Judge is just going to regress naturally because of age. And Soto is just captivating this fan base right now, man. That's not to say that Judge isn't going to be one of the best players in this team. He's not going to be a face of this franchise. No, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm just going to say the Yankees have more than one now. You know what I mean? They have more than one. It's not just him. It's Gerrit Cole. It's Soto. It's Judge. You got a team worth watching on. It's must-watch TV on an everyday basis, especially in those later innings when the Yankees are losing and Soto's like, all right, now I got to do something. Now I got to step up and make something happen. And he does it every freaking time. You know what I mean? How hard is it to hit a baseball? It's one of the most difficult things to do in sports. And Soto makes it look easy on some of these occasions. So, you know, to get to the roundabout point here, Gleyber Torres, solid player. We're not worried about him this season. But unfortunately, he is going to be the odd man out. And Soto's going to be paid. So, you know, that's the long-term kind of roundabout goal here. I think you guys would probably agree. Of course, always happy to hear your thoughts down below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe. As always, let's go Yankees. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode. Perfect.